All right. Well, it is my pleasure to be here with you all. Drove up yesterday, about 11 and a half hours, give or take 11 hours or so. I have everybody say hi to Jacob back there. Jacob's with me with the Nashville Church and Agos and what we do there. Recent Freed graduate, but he has some claims to fame, too. We actually just sent him off like a month ago, I guess now. Went over and got to be one of the 50 people out of 19,000 that auditioned to sing at the Sydney Opera House. And so he got to go and spend part of that. There were 7 Freed Hardeman students that all made those top 50 out of 19,000. So that's a weird number. I think that's a Church of Christ thing. I don't know about y'all, but you spend your whole entire life singing a cappella. Maybe some of these choral groups might work out for you. So it's a pleasure to be with you all this weekend, be able to spend some time. I don't come back to this area as much as I used to. I used to live in Wichita Falls in Dallas. And so I used to come up every once in a while for some different things. But I'll actually be back in this area in... somewhere for the MOVE conference. It's going to be here, MOVE Youth Conference. I'll be back up here. But it's always a pleasure to see some faces that I saw just in passing along the way these last couple of years, and it's a pleasure to be with y'all. So, what in the world are we going to be talking about today? When you give me a broad topic like using technology and media in the church and in ministry, with the amount of stuff that I could go, Jacob and I were talking about on the way up here, I was like, I don't even know where to begin. Because there's so many different avenues that we could go down just to follow the rabbit hole of where these things, just chasing rabbits, going after how this can be done. But I need to start off by telling you just a small story to give you just hopefully an understanding of why this is so powerful. So I was having breakfast about a year and a half ago now, and I went in and sat down at this table, and it's this round table with people I've never met before, I've never seen before, but I just sat down because that's what you do when you're at one of these types of events, is you sit down and you just kind of get to know people, right? Because you're like, all right, this is going to be fun. So I sat down, and then there's this guy sitting on the corner, big guy, goatee, sitting there, and looked at me, and he was kind of like, huh. I was like, okay. All right, I don't know who that guy is. And then next to him was this shaved head, not bald, shaved head, rimmed glasses, kind of smaller guy sitting there, and he looked up and was very kind, just like, hello, and just quickly and just kind of moved on. He seemed like one of those very shifty, like very fast characters in general. Next to him was this stunning African-American woman like with hair out to here. It was awesome. It was the most impressive. It looked like costume related. I mean, it was amazing. And I was like, I don't know what's happening, but I love this. So next to her was this older African-American lady, probably 80s, 90s, and she reached over across the table. She goes, here you go, boy, and gave me a donut. I was like, yes, ma'am. This is an amazing start to this day right now. I don't know who that is, but I got a donut. Next to her was this other guy, and he was on his phone the entire time, and he was just sitting there, and he was just kind of flipping back and forth, going, yes, yes, no, yes. And he looked up and went, hey. I was like, okay. And so I'm sitting there, and I still don't know who these people are. And then I have a tap on my shoulder, and there's a friend of mine by the name of Harris taps me on the shoulder, and he goes, do you have any idea who these people are? And I went, no. He goes, you should ask them. And I said, okay. Now, before I tell you who these people are, here's what you need to know. Every single one of these people has stepped into your lives and told you stories. Every one of them. I guarantee it. That they have influenced the way you think and the way that your mindset has been shaped in your life today. So going back across the very beginning, there's the man, big guy, goatee, introduces himself as Don. His name is Don Hahn. He's the original director of Lion King and Beauty and the Beast. Anybody ever seen those? You think they might have shaped your understanding or thought process as to, I don't know, love, emotions, excitement, joy, terror, even. Next to him was this man who introduced himself as Jim. And Jim said, I'm Jim Kruger. I was creative director at Marvel. Anybody seen the Marvel films? Or all 20, was it 22 of them now? That have made like $18 billion globally across the entire world? So now I'm getting excited because I was like, I don't know what's happening. What is this? What was the amazingness? She introduced Ruth Carter. Just won two Academy Awards for best costume design for Black Panther and Selma. So now it suddenly made total sense, right? Next to her is my favorite, Beulah May. Beulah May worked at Mattel, at least I think it was Mattel, and she was the originator and helper of the first Black Barbie. next to her was this man who was on his phone a lot and looked over. That was named by the name of Steve Feldman. Steve was one of the original directors of Sesame Street and also created Barney. So I want to put those separately because Sesame Street, yay, Barney. I don't know if you've got that song stuck in your head all of a sudden, but that's how I felt about it. I was like, yay, boo. I wanted to spend both those times. So these individuals, now tell me that they haven't influenced the way you think of the world, how you look at life, how you view maybe even your childhood. Now Disney's doing something right now where they're actually basically recreating the same exact films that we all grew up with, playing solely off of your nostalgia, because the stories have not changed. Nor have the DVD or VHS tape you have that is the exact same movie, and now you're watching it again and paying more money for it. Why? Because my children need to see this. Disney thanks you. And so does Pixar and all the rest of them when all of this comes together. So this whole entire event is I get to work with a wonderful people at the what's called the Story Conference. This is this year's. In fact, it's coming up very soon. Jacob and I are diving into the depths of it very soon where we're over the logistics for this conference. So this conference is known as kind of TEDx for creatives, for individuals. So we get to work with people like Apple and Disney and Pixar and all these individuals come in. So this is the breakfast that I'm in. This is behind the scenes. This is the speaker's lounge. Hanging out in there. I'm there along with a bunch of other Christians and other people serving, just being there to serve the people who help inspire the people who tell stories every day to you. What in the world is a preacher doing in there? Using technology and media to glorify God. Finding ways to influence and to encourage and to uplift and to grow, to utilize the things that are in front of us. We have this bad habit in the church of not actually believing that we can do much. I am of the opinion that the first century church had this really bad habit of thinking that when they were told to go into all the world, that God meant in their lifetime. They weren't waiting for 2,000 years later, we'll have reached it by some other people. That instead it was, go into all the world, and they went, okay, I guess we better get going. And so they did. We have this, I don't know how to put this. We've been lulled to sleep by 2,000 years of history that somehow has gotten us to believe this idea that, well, we've got time. We don't have time. If there's anything in Scripture that says over and over again is what? We're not promised even tomorrow or even the next second. Yet we live like somehow we have all the time in the world. One of the things that I'm a missionary. My father ran Harding University's overseas program, but my father also grew up in Italy. My grandfather was a missionary there, so I'm third generation, culturally confused, where I've been both American but very Italian. If you haven't noticed, it's how I talk with my hands a lot. It's very Italian of me, right? I don't know how to keep them still. I don't know what to do with them otherwise. They do this a lot. It's part of who I am. It's part of who we are as a people. And as we have changed and as a missionary, my mindset has always been there's something that we're supposed to be doing right now. I don't know if you feel that, but within the church, and I'm telling you, there's a generation that's coming up, not just the millennials. Believe it or not, the Gen Zs are about to burst at the seams. They're going to be the largest generation in the United States very quickly. Did y'all realize that? We are no longer going to be talking about the millennials soon. Wow, isn't that going to be amazing? People will actually blame somebody else. I'm looking forward to it as a millennial. I mean, I'm the oldest millennials. We started it. You're welcome. But now it's flowing down, and there's going to be this massive generation who want to feel like they're doing something. And they don't want to just be told to sit in a pew, and that's what faith looks like. They want to be challenged, and they want to do things that matter, that impact society, that impact culture, not just go through the motions. In fact, there's a reason why, if you haven't noticed this, we have the largest population ever right now in the United States of people who claim no religion. Do you know why? It's not that they've abandoned the idea of God. It's they've abandoned the idea of organized religion. Because organized religion to them is what? It's boring. It doesn't do anything. It's not challenging. It's not making a difference. It's not changing the world. It's not doing any of those things. We also have the highest population in the United States that we've ever had of people working for nonprofits. Isn't that anti-cultural? nonprofits looking to do social justice work. Which means we have an entire generation who wants to do what? Serve people. And they do not see how they can do that within the church. Now, so I'm going to add this in as just kind of a thought process. When it comes to technology and media, we have been woefully behind. It's not even a joke. It's just bad. I remember in the 90s when there was kind of, and I was a child, and my dad, remember coming home from an elders meeting, and I said, "Are you okay?" And he looked kind of weird at me, and I was like, "Everything fine?" He said, "We spent a lot of time discussing whether or not we should have PowerPoint." And I said, "What?" He goes, in an elders meeting. Like, have it? What do you mean? He goes, like, whether or not we should even be, like, anything PowerPoint related. And if you, most of you won't know my father, but to him it was like, we have deeper things to be discussing as to whether or not we should be having PowerPoint in these scenarios. But instead, are we utilizing all the things that are available to us to reach out and to reach the lost? I just shared with you how five individuals completely changed your childhood and the way you viewed the world through the art of storytelling and the art of creative outlets and all the rest. Do you not think that that might be a massive way for us to reach individuals? How many of you have ever seen VeggieTales? Okay. Do y'all know the story of VeggieTales? Originally, they were going to be chocolate. This is what I've heard, okay? Originally, they were going to be chocolate, but then they decided that they couldn't be chocolate because of the fact that that would give a bad impression to kids. So they made them vegetables. But have you ever noticed how none of them have hands? It's because it was too hard to animate with hands. So they just made them vegetables. Did you know that VeggieTales is now owned by somebody other than church people? Like, it was sold? Have you ever seen, like, VeggieTales now on Netflix and go, "Wow, it's VeggieTales," but then you watch an episode and there's no biblical theme to it? It's just a cartoon? You know why? Because the secular world looked at it and went, "We could take that because it's very popular. There's a lot of people out there who grew up on VeggieTales who are watching it, and just take out all the scriptural references and just make it like good television for kids and use it." That's exactly what they've done. They've taken something that used to be something you could share with your kids and say, "Hey, this has some good messages to it," and whatever, and then they completely made it something different. You see, we have unbelievably creative people within our brotherhood, within the faith, who have no outlets because we're still debating whether or not we should be doing PowerPoints or websites. And we're missing global opportunities to change the mind of the world as to who God is. I'm a big believer that Paul would have been on Twitter. He would have hated the character limits because the dude loved to write. Peter would have been the webmaster because he was a control guy, kind of guy, webmaster over the Jerusalem Church of Christ website. Like, that would have been a thing. And I guarantee you, Luke would have been the one blogging about the history of the church and about all the things that are happening. Had they had the avenues and the things that we did. You know why I know this is because in the first century, they were innovators in using the things around them. Now, we call it technology now, but they were innovators in how they communicated, how they talked, secret codes, going into secret meetings, communication under the... They were innovators in how that happened. I got to experience that first time and firsthand, really, when I was in China. When I was in China, we used to have to communicate by phone back and forth with mom and dad and places like that. But we couldn't just be open about what we were doing. So we had a code. So whenever we had a baptism, you know what we would say? "Oh man, we went swimming today." And that's not even a joke. We literally would have to go to swimming pools because if you've ever been to China, they just have showers. They don't have tubs big enough to hold anybody. So we would have to go to the school pool where like 10,000 kids were all swimming, and I'm not joking about 10,000 kids. There's 10,000. My campus had 26,000 students, and 10,000 of them would be at the pool anytime it was open because they had no heating or air in their dorms, so that was a place where they could cool off or in some way. So they would all show up there. We would swim around with like 75,000 other people is what it felt like, shoulder to shoulder in the pool. And then we would meet in the middle, and we would create a little circle, and it was almost like, treading, have you ever tried to baptize somebody treading water? It just looks like a game. Like, you're like, I now baptize you in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit for the remission of sins. Down and back up. Who's next? You're treading around trying to figure out who's next. So we would say that whenever we would have worship, we would say we had a house party today. And we had people over the house, and we would spend some time. And whenever we would have the Lord's Supper, we would always say things like, well, we had a family meal. We spent some time in the family meal. We spent some time, and we did all of that, I guarantee you, is how they had to communicate in many ways in the first century with the persecution and the rest that was going on. They found innovative and creative ways to still do what they were called to do, to influence the world and the people around them. I don't know when it is that we got into a bad habit of thinking that we are not called to creativity and innovation. I don't know when that happened. I love to blame other generations. That's just like an awesome thing. It's an easy target, right? Just to blame the people that have come before. That's an easy thing to do. But the reality is all of us are here. And all of us have the ability to take statements and to say, I really want to show how we can do some things differently. And we have to take ownership that as a church on the whole, we seem to have hit pause in about 1960. Where we hit pause and went, we're good. We've arrived. We're done. We've restored the church. There's nothing left to do except hold fast to the truth. Now, the hold fast to the truth part, you better believe that's the number one thing that's getting attacked nonstop, okay? I don't want to take away the way Satan's working. The rest of this stuff, we really need to evaluate whether or not we have bought into a, that if I were to make it very clear with just an analogy, I love going through Pennsylvania. You know who some of my favorite people are in Pennsylvania? The Amish. Who have arrived at a certain point in time in life where that was it. If we're not careful, that is who we will become. Well, we're done. This is us historically. And that is a dangerous part to live because I know that God's church will not be overcome, but it will shift to where we no longer hold on to the things and the truths of old. If you look even in the book of Revelation, you have a church, I believe it's the church of Ephesus. He gets to a point where he says, you're wonderful, you're great, you're doing great things, you've held on to the truth, but you've done what? You lost your first love. You've missed out. You've held on to the truth, but you've lost your first love. And that is held against them. So our first love must be that which God loved. And you all know this verse. For God so loved what? The world, that he gave his only begotten Son. So what does God love? The world. Which means that if we have to love the things that God loves and hate the things that God hates, we know a lot about the things that God hates. We talk about a lot. But the things that he loves, his world, that which he has created, his creation. And for us, much like C.S. Lewis used to say, to view every human being as an eternal soul. You have never met a mere mortal. They are eternal in nature. And it is your job to constantly remember that. So how can we use technology and media to dive into this situation that we find ourselves in? The first thing we have to catch is this. We have to stop thinking about whether or not, this is the best way to put it. We have to stop thinking about whether or not we should do something that is in the realm of things outside of biblical doctrine. Biblical doctrine is not up for debate. Make sense? Did you hear me say that? Biblical doctrine is not what's up for debate. How we do the things we do outside of worship and the rest to glorify God must be the discussions we're having. Must be how we talk about things. I don't know about you, but technology and media seems to, we always seem to drag it into ourselves into worship constantly. Have you noticed that? Yes, but in worship, this is how we could use it wrong, how it could be done incorrect and all that. I was like, that's great. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm not talking about any of that. Do you hear me? I'm not talking about additions to worship, using technology and media and adding it to worship, changing those things. I'm talking about how do we use technology and media to glorify God by sharing the good news of the gospel throughout the entire world. The first thing we decided at the Nashville church is we felt we might just want to, I don't know, be connected. How many of you know me from Facebook? Okay, a few of you guys. Awesome. How many of you know me from real life? Because that's two different things. But we don't often remember that. It is different, isn't it? What we've been doing at the Nashville Church is we realize that we have a connectivity problem. There is great joy in all of us being autonomous. It's biblical, right? Autonomous congregations across the globe. I also hate not knowing what you're doing. I hate not knowing all the great things that are happening around the world. And when I'm able to connect with them and see them, I'm like, this is awesome. I love this. I didn't know that they were doing that. I wish we would have known. We would have come and seen them. And my favorite way of giving you this analogy, because it actually happened in Oklahoma a year ago, where I was talking with a guy who was a missionary in Argentina, and he said, we've just moved to Argentina. We're missionaries over there. It's going great. It's wonderful. But we just found out that there's another missionary family that just moved to Argentina. I said, really? That's amazing. He said, yeah. They moved in. They're a block away from us in the same apartment complex. And I said, okay, that's amazing. Did y'all know each other? And they said, no. I said, okay, where are they? Are they planting a church? Are they working with the church? He said, they're planting a church in the same neighborhood that we are planting a church, that we already started planting a church last year in. I said, really? He said, yeah. Here's the kicker. Our sponsoring congregations are in the same town in the United States. I said, so two churches who are in the same town in Oklahoma, I'm not going to tell you where. In Oklahoma, it's a little bit, if I'd have said in some states, they ought to have been like, well, we know which church that was. But here, there's so many. It's like, it could be any. They're in the same, they're a mile apart. And they did not even know that the other one was sending missionaries to the same block in the same city in Argentina. Because we don't know what each other's doing. Our autonomy is both a biblical mandate, but it's also the thing that causes us the most issues at times, is it not? I love being able to connect with people. I love knowing what's going on. I love knowing that there are great people doing works. And I've been blessed to travel to 45 plus countries in my life. And I'm telling you, every place I go, I meet Christians. And I'm like, I wish other people could meet these people because they're awesome. They're incredible. So let me show you. I've been working on something for a while called Agos. So it's on my shirt, A-G-G-O-S. Agos is a Greek word. It simply means vessel. It's just the tool. So my boss, and he's one of the elders of the Nashville Church, came up with this concept of how can we help churches connect without churches losing their autonomy and still feeling like they can do what they want to do? How can we do that? So we created the first ever private curated social media just for Churches of Christ across the entire world. The app is free. You can download it. This is the website, much like Facebook. And I'm going to dive in here in a second so you can see that and what it looks like. Because for us to begin anything, we have to be connected. We have to know and encourage one another. So once you get onto the inside and you have to request to join, you have to be proud. We tell people all the time, well, how are you deciding what Church of Christ is what? And I say, well, you have to click a button that actually says, I'm a member of the Church of Christ in good standing. We want people who are proud of who they are, of their association. We have monitored and adjusted a lot since we began. We have added churches. We have taken away churches. We have done a lot of movement across the board on purpose. Why? Because we wanted to see what would happen. So this is when you log in. Guess what? You have a live feed just like everywhere else where people can post things. They can share content, share what's going on. The greatest thing we've experienced in these first 8 months is that, number one, you don't have to worry about what you're going to see. You just don't. Number two, people aren't as fake as they are online elsewhere. You know why? Because everybody here makes the assumption that somebody in the church is going to see it. So guess what? They're filtering themselves far more than they ever have anywhere else. On Facebook, they're like, it never crosses their mind, will my elders see this? They never think that on Facebook. On here, they're assuming everybody's seeing it. That's a member of the church. It has become the most positive place I've ever been in. Like, people come in, and my favorite was, we had a guy come in about 2 months into our beginning from South Sudan who came in, and his first quote was, I didn't even know the rest of you existed. And I just went, awesome, what's your name? And we just started talking. We don't have private messaging. Everything's public. You know why? Because you have other things you can do that with. what this has allowed us to do is churches can come in, and I'll show you a little bit more about this. Probably my favorite feature. So you see this goes on for years, in essence, with people posting things. You can check in. I checked in like I was going to be here. Preachers, how many of you travel pretty extensively? How would you like to be able to check in on a place and actually tell the people that are going to be there, say, I've got a trip coming up this next week. I'll be in Denver, speaking in Denver. I can click on our profile here and simply say, I'll be in Denver next week from Wednesday to so forth, and it will send a notification, like a little dot up there in the top right corner, will send a notification to the people within a 50-mile radius of where I will be and says, Brandon will be here speaking on these days if you'd like to connect with him. So if you're looking for a church, because all the churches on here will get the same notification, so-and-so will be in your area. What would you like to do if you're looking for guests or visitors, guests specifically, that they just simply know where to come, right? So one of my favorite parts is, how about I show you our interactive digital directory of every single Church of Christ in the world, and we're still adding this to this every day. So if I zoom in, you see every one of these dots? Every single one of these dots is a church or an individual. So I'll just take you downtown to where our church, and when I say downtown, we're literally downtown. Fifth Avenue right here. So then downtown, you've got Agos, Support, the Nashville Church of Christ. And if I zoom back out, you'll start to see how many Churches of Christ there are across the state of Tennessee, and then across all the other states. That's just here. But guess what? Ours goes all over the world. And we're adding churches daily. By the way, you see 719 was what we clicked on right there. I was just given a list about 5 months ago of 50,000 Churches of Christ in one state in India. 5.5 million members of the Church of Christ in one state. We're the only people in the world who have that information. Every day we're adding to it. If you see a flag, that's a church. If you see a profile picture, that's a person. Simple, right? So one of my favorite parts about the app is that you can actually click a button on the app that will actually zoom into your location right where you are in that moment and will share with you the exact Churches of Christ around your area. Would that be helpful when you're traveling? Or how about if you're broken down on the side of the road and you can open that up? Because my favorite part about it also is if you're willing to share your phone number and email with members of the church, they can actually text you in that moment and say, hey, I saw you're nearby me here through Agos, member of the church, I'm broken down on the side of the road. Can somebody come help us? You think those people will reach out more often than others? So that's part of our app and what we've created. And all of this is free to come in. If you've got events, you can share all your events and let people know even within their area all the different events that are coming up. Mental health, first aid for workers. Here you've got TBH Youth Rally, Erupt Youth Rally, area-wide singing and song leading. Groups is my favorite part. Would you like to be able to do all your inter-church communications without sharing that with the entire world? Because so many people now are rightfully have Facebook pages and do the stuff that they're using technology-wise to put an outward face. But there's a lot of information you should never share online about people's health ailments, when they're in hospital, and so forth, that we are really bad at doing. You know why? Because there are whole entire groups of people who spend all their days looking at church Facebook pages, taking information of who's in the hospital, and then robbing their homes. That's a real thing. If you print that on a bulletin, do you understand that there are people who come into churches, grab a bulletin, will stay for your service, then leave, and go and rob the homes of people who are in the hospital? That's a reality. So imagine you had a private place where you could put all that information, knowing that they have to be members of the church, and we monitor and adjust constantly to make sure that these are all private. You can even have this where this is private to just your church group can see inside your church group. You don't even have to let the rest of the Church of Christ, because some of them are kind of nosy, right? You don't even have to let them see it all. Ministers or schools, the rest, if you're looking for a job, how about one centralized job board? For all the churches out there looking for ministers, youth ministers, interns, preachers, secretaries, whatever it may be, we have that. Missions. How many of you go on mission trips or are part of missions in your church in some way? Okay, you got a few of you guys? Wonderful. Share about what you're doing so that you don't send the same missionaries to the same block in Argentina. Just throwing that out there, okay? Let people know. You own a Christian business? How would you like to share that Christian business with all the rest of the members of the church? Maybe you're one of my favorites we found recently was a guy who printed shirts. You know how many youth groups print shirts around in the United States? I would much rather use somebody within the church than somebody else, right? There are entire clothing lines for ladies. Did y'all know that? I did not know that. That are owned by Christian women. I had no clue. The only time you ever see it, typically it's like at a PTP, polishing the pulpit, or one of those type of events. They have online stores where you can buy them and it'll ship to your house. Many of them use Amazon. But wouldn't it be nice to know those things? How about Christian plumbers and electricians? So even people in your own local business, if they're a member of church, they can put their business here and say, hey, call me. I'd love to help you out if you're in the Oklahoma City area, in the Norman area. You see how valuable this could be for not just preachers and teachers, but for every member, every church, because we built this for everybody, not just a specific group, a subset of people. So we do have some frequently asked questions and those things that people will always come in and ask, what's the National Church of Christ? What do we do? And the rest. We're a weird collection of weird individuals. It's the best way to put it. I'm not normal. I have grasped that. I have lived with it for a while now. I am well aware of my intricacies and my weirdness. My wife's okay with it, and that's the only person that ultimately matters in this situation. My three kids, they're learning whether or not they like dad. But I love technology and media, and I love what it can do and how it can be utilized for people. So in the last few minutes that I have here, I want to share a few things with you guys. First off, if you want to join Agos, join. You can go and request to join agos.com. You can download the app. Please do. Help us connect. Help us share with individuals. We've gone from zero members at December of this past year to over, we're right at close to, well, I can actually see, we'll see where we are. If I go to the directory here, this is along with churches, 11,666. Yeah, let somebody else go add so we don't have that number there hanging out. sweet. Awesome. Make that happen. But we also have the churches that are on there. Did you guys know there's 11,397 churches of Christ in the United States? I did, because I put every one of them on the map. There are, from our estimation, 75,000 to 100,000 churches of Christ around the globe. Did you know that? When we first began, we assumed there was between 2 to 3, maybe 5 million members of the church globally. What we're learning now, and when I'm saying learning, I mean real people on the ground telling us about real churches, communicating with us and then giving us this information, that there may be between 15 to 30 million members of the church globally. I don't know about you, but the church isn't dying abroad. It's just here. And guess what? That's on us, because we have a very different culture to deal with here. And if I can be so honest, and this is somebody who's a missions person, my degree in undergrad is in missions, master's I'm working on is cultural anthropology, on how we deal with international and different groups of people. It's this: we have lost our first love for how to reach our own. It's easy to feel good about a missions program where you go and feed the hungry in a third world country, and it must still happen. Do you hear me? We are called to go into all the world. But we also have to monitor and adjust how we reach the people in our own culture. Rural churches, 70 churches of Christ every year are dying. And when I say dying, I'm simply saying they're closing their doors. But that has more to do with people moving, demographic shifts, than it does with the Lord's church not doing what it needs to be doing. Okay? I'm not the pessimist in this scenario. There's a lot of churches in rural areas that are dying. You know why? Because 100 people a day are moving to Nashville. Most of the younger generations are moving to large urban environments. They want the connectivity. They want the big lives. And believe it or not, and I was sitting in the class earlier, they want the bigger churches. You know why? Anybody want to take a guess? In one way, yes. They're looking for community. They're looking for connectivity because they're not getting it at church anymore. They're not getting it in their, what was their small church community, because everybody was just sitting on a pew. So then ironically, they go into these big churches. You know how long the average person lasts at one of these mega churches? 6 weeks. Till they move on to the next one, where they last for about 6 weeks. Because ultimately, what are they looking for? Community, connectivity, a feeling of family. That's what they're looking for. And when the Lord's church does that right, there's no question where they are. We just haven't been really good about doing that right for quite a while. And one of the things is because we're distracted arguing about things that don't matter. Again, not talking about doctrine. Talking about whether or not, well, for example, Should we be live streaming our services? Absolutely you should. Because by the way, if you have an Agos where you can share and jump and come and connect with people and do your inner church talking, then how you use Facebook and Twitter and social media as a church changes completely. Because then that becomes solely about who? Those outside your church. You can solely use that as an evangelistic tool. How do you reach out to them? Hidden Bridge Media is one of the companies that I help, that I own, and I work alongside a good friend of mine. My name is Brandon Jackson in Dallas. And I'll just throw this up there real quick. So Hidden Bridge Media is videography media. I'm a big believer that we should do things, and when we do them, we should be in excellence. We should stop creating junk. If you wouldn't watch it, I'm talking about watching. I'm not saying if you wouldn't support it because the message is good. I'm saying if you wouldn't watch it because you look at it and go, they didn't really try on that one, then why in the world would you expect somebody else to? Poorly created graphics, imagery, videography, and the rest is one of our downfalls. Because we do whatever is the cheapest available thing. And that is a terrible thing to associate with the church. We don't want anybody to think we're the cheapest people around. We want everybody to think that we do everything in excellence. Because that's what God has called us to do all things to the glory of God. How does it represent God? Yes, the message is ultimately what matters in its totality. But how you present that message matters. Whether or not they'll listen to it at all. So what we do with Hidden Bridge Media is we create videography. We create short lessons, Bible classes, plans, whatever it may be, so that people can see the gospel in a high-quality format. One of the other things that we did a little while back, and this is not a plug on Hidden Bridge Media because we do everything based off of our own time frame. How many of you ever heard of the 12 Questions Dallas campaign? A few of you did, okay. So a couple of years back, this is what we call a reverse gospel meeting. So what is a typical gospel meeting? Okay, so you invite somebody to your church building for a certain time to do what? To hear a specific speaker on a specific message that we have chosen that we decide that's what they need to hear. Now, do you notice what the problem with how I just used the terminology within that? It's kind of all about us. This is what we believe you need to hear. So a reverse gospel message was this. We created cards, business cards, 10,000 of them, that said, if you could ask God any one question, what would it be? Gave it to the members. On the card, there was a web address, 12questions12questionsdallas.org. And we had it set up to where people could just go in there and type in their questions and hit send. We didn't capture their email. We didn't capture anything. We just said, just send us your questions. 10,000 cards went out. Within 30 minutes of the first person leaving the service, we had questions coming in. First question we got was, why did God take my son from me when he was only 26 years old? You know what I heard there instantly? Pain. Somebody's in pain. Over the next month, we had over 3,000 questions come in from 49 states, 96 countries. For 12 Questions, Dallas. Are you seeing what happened? Now, 85% of them still came from the Texas area. But there was people across the world that went, I have a question too. So then we took the top 12 genres of questions. And that's what you're seeing here. That was my favorite. Did you always know that you were the Messiah? Have you ever thought of that? Did Jesus always know as a child that he was the Messiah? Or did he learn it by reading through the scriptures like us? Like, how did that happen? Why is there pain and suffering? Where does grace end and darkness begin? These are the questions that, can I be gay and a Christian, was the number two question asked. Number one was, why is there pain and suffering? So then what we did was this. We simply said, okay, you do not have to come to our building. We will live stream it. You can watch it online. It'll be on Facebook and it'll be on the same website you used before. Please don't show up. Do you know what's funny? Do you know how many people showed up? We had 68 visitors the first night. We had 650 members of the church that showed up too. Our normal Sunday nights, we average 300. Because here's what we found out is our members had questions too. Our members were just as interested as anybody else. Once I found the questions, then I went looking for the speakers who could best answer the questions. And then I told the speakers, this is not a sermon. Your job is to answer the question from a biblical perspective, period. This is not a worship service. There's not going to be any of that. So you can stand up there, you can say whatever you need to do, but you're talking to people who are not members of the church. They're not Christians. That's the mentality I want you to have. So the first night, and we answered the questions in 35-minute segments, and then we had 10 minutes of Q&A. So live during the event, individuals could come up and actually could tweet in, text in, Facebook message in, email and the rest, follow-up questions based off of what they're hearing, and I would sit down with the speaker for the last 10 minutes of the question and actually go back and forth and answer questions live. That was, by the way, everybody's favorite part, as weird as that is. First night, we had over 700 watching online at the same time. When was the last time we had 7 show up for a gospel meeting? More or less 700. And then we had how many visitors? 68 the first night. That was a Sunday night. They were there from 4:30 till 9 p.m. consistently. We had 3 different breaks where we had coffee and we had cookies and people could go step out. And guess what? That's where all of our members were like, man, what did you think about that question? What did you think about the answer that was given? We live stream it out Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. 3 questions a night for 4 nights. To date, if my calculations are right, this was happened in 2015. 2 million views globally. 300 baptisms in India, because that was our point of 12 questions, Dallas, right? Hundreds of visitors. Thousands that have come to the site. 64 different churches who have now used these videos, because we recorded and placed them online after, these videos as curriculum. Here's somebody answering this question, and then in their class they would sit down and they would ask follow-up questions, and how would you answer this question if somebody that wasn't a Christian asked this question? And they would follow up with them on that. It's very simple. Now, here's the key thing, because this is always the question everybody asks me. How many of you have a camera in your church in some way or another? Or even if not a member or somebody. Live streaming is not as hard as we make it out to be, right? Live streaming the way we did it in Dallas was a little bit different because we had a built-in system already, okay? So we could live stream out at any point in time. This entire event cost $5,000. That is cheaper than most gospel meetings count if you actually take into account all the food we typically eat and consume. The business cards were a couple of $100. The website cost about $700 to build out to make sure we could have that. The live streaming services, making sure those things were out. The speakers were the most expensive thing, bringing them in, flying them in, because I wanted specialized speakers who could come in and speak to the exact things we were doing. By the way, these speakers told me after that this was one of their favorite events they'd ever done, not the event itself, but because how they were able to term the message. They didn't feel like they were just preaching to the crowd. But instead, they were actually able to share the gospel through real pain, real suffering that people were going through, real questions. They felt like they were actually answering somebody. So this is just a way in which we use technology and media to share with the global world the answers that the scriptures provide. It was simple when you think about it. But how we actually came up with it, it started off with a church in right outside of Nashville, the Mount Juliet Church of Christ, if you ever heard of them. They did a 12 questions campaign that was solely focused on door knocking. And they went out in the community, did an awesome job. It was phenomenal. And I said, I just want to take that idea and then I want to put it on steroids online and see what happens. One of the key things, and I will share you this, there's always going to be pushback when you do something that's never been done before. But we have a bad habit of saying the words, we've never done that before. Except for, here's a way, I just want you to practice this with me, okay? Here's how you respond. Yes, but we've never done that before. How you say it matters. How you view it matters. We've never done that before. What if it works? And ultimately, and here's what I need you to understand about technology and media in general. Your job is not to be successful. It's to be faithful. God brings the success in these things. I got asked over and over again, well, how many are we going to have? I don't know. I really wanted to say I don't care. But I do care because I care about the souls involved. But I don't care because it can't be about numbers. We cannot do everything solely based off of what numbers will come. Instead, we be faithful to God. Are we called to answer the world's questions because God has provided the world answers through His Word? Yes, then we are faithful. Then let us be faithful. And if we are faithful, God will bring the increase. God will share the totality of these things. And I hope to one day in heaven come up to people who will come up to me and they will go, I watched the video online. Because you know what? I have to be okay, and churches have to be okay with not knowing how everything's going to turn out, but relying wholly on the glory that God brings when His will is manifested in this world. We do it because we can, and because God can be glorified through it. Lives change from there. So if you have any interest, and I think I'm out of time here, if you have any interest whatsoever in actually learning how to do something like this, or in my second class this afternoon, I'm literally going to be talking out loud and we're going to dream together about how we can do something different. I want to come up with a what if together. What if we did this? What if we did that? What if we were able to dream out loud and do that together so we can see what we might come up with that can help and change the world in our lifetime? Because we've got to go to the whole world. Leave you with this statistic. By the end of 2020, 90% of social media will be video or images. I'm just going to throw that out there as a medium in which the church needs to step into. Because if 90% are watching, I want them to see who we are and who God is. Because that's an awesome thing. Thank you very much for your time. I truly appreciate it.